Good morning. Good to be with you on this day. I love this. In our Psalms today, we read, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say to the Lord, 'You are my refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.'" And then moving down to verse 10, "There shall no evil happen to you, for he shall give his angels charge over you. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Spring of 2010, recovering from divorce and finishing graduate school, I was walking down a hallway in my home, and I rammed my bare foot into a ladder. Most of you are familiar with the words that ensued. After catching my breath, the journey towards graduation continued, buying new shoes as my feet swelled. About the time I should have been moving into employment, I found walking unbearable. A long overdue doctor's appointment revealed that my right foot was broken by that ladder, and my left broken from compensating for the following months. My freezing cold legs that were blue from the knees down were diagnosed as reflex sympathetic dystrophy. It's another fancy word for looping pain. Yeah. By that December, the pain spread up my spine. It made it difficult to sit up for more than a minute or two. After renting a wheelchair, I settled in by my wood stove for the next 2 years. To the best of my understanding, the Lord had been my refuge the day I rammed my foot into the ladder. Where were my angels? Where were my angels? Was my foolishness probably moving too fast? God's will? In those 2 years, I wrestled time and time again with those questions and others of who is God in this place? What do I actually believe? We've all dashed our foot against one stone or another. That very, very unwelcome moment arrives, often in a split second. And we find ourselves on a path we don't want to be on. And we begin the wrestling. And in the midst, as God was with me in those 2 years, He's there. In the rage that I felt and the questions that I asked, I wasn't abandoned. In our gospel story, Jesus, after his baptism and hearing from God that he was a beloved son, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he's fasting for 40 days. The gospel's writers don't tell us what Jesus thought about this path chosen for him. But we know that while he was hungry, he faced temptations. He wrestled. And it required him to choose what or who he believes. Regarding Jesus' response to the devil's promises of power and grandeur, historical theologian Diane Butler Bass writes, "Jesus said, 'God provides bread. God is the only empire, and it is a kingdom of humble love and gratitude to God. God is, I am. The essence and being from which all creation has life. We are fed by bread. We live in a Sabbath community of thanks. Only God is God.'" Jesus chooses to believe in his Creator who calls him beloved. whether in our wilderness journey and experiences come from being led by the Spirit, or from foolishness, or from betrayal, or from loss, injustice. In the wilderness, we are all subject to that wrestling, to the voices that tell us we've been shortchanged. God is not enough. I'm not enough. And then those litanies in the dark hours of the night, if only, if only. Our ability to access the love of God or anyone else's in moments of pain begins to develop early on in our lives. It's put into motion before we have words by how we're cared for by the adults around us. When young children experience pain without validation or comfort, they're left with feelings way too big for them. Pain becomes scary. It becomes entangled with feelings of abandonment. And we are hardwired to avoid those feelings at all costs. When we're in pain, we'll begin to blame ourselves. If only I was better. If only I was faster or smarter, I could avoid this pain. Pain experienced in emotional isolation, it sets us up for that self-loathing, that self-contempt. It erodes our sense of agency, our sense of competence. This form of pain is what we call trauma. In contrast, a child in pain who's validated and receives comfort will feel empowered by their ability to cry out and then have someone respond, comfort them. They learn to anticipate comfort, help in moments of pain. Suffer, this experience in the context of a loving relationship is suffering. So there's the contrast between trauma and suffering. Trauma happens in isolation. Suffering, it happens in community. Suffering does not take away the grief. It doesn't take away the ache, the crying, often the rage. But suffering doesn't allow pain to define our worth. It doesn't allow pain to define our worth. It doesn't take away our agency or our capacity in the midst to receive comfort. Oh, we'll still wrestle with all of the questions. Jesus, led by the Spirit into the desert after hearing he was beloved, he could find nourishment from God, love to sustain him. This makes me very curious about Jesus' parents. Jesus knew how to connect with God's love to find refuge. No matter the cause of our pain or distress, no matter whether we experience pain as trauma or suffering, love matters. Who God is in those moments matters. For some of us, connecting with love in the midst of distress is a lifelong journey. In graduate school, I took classes that invited me into a more contemplative way to experience my spiritual journey. And in that season, I was equipped with some practices that really helped me connect in moments of pain. And a couple days ago, I just returned from an annual spiritual direction retreat with the organization Soul Formation. At that retreat, Bill Zilke, a Jesuit priest who began extended silent retreats with Jesus as a 19-year-old, was one of our instructors. Bill's now in his 70s. His grounding, calming presence developed through those seasons of silence and contemplation was calming to me. It spoke volumes of God's love. My hope is, as we all wrestle, and certainly as I wrestled in those 2 years, those practices of contemplation, of sitting quiet before God, helped me access and receive God's love. I often imagine attuning to the gentle rhythm of God's breath. Just that, just breathe. It's a bit like watching the waves come against the shore. I consider God's love and what it might look like in those moments, and then I watch as the day unfolds for how love shows up in simple things. And the 2 years that I was literally on the floor, was alone. I don't do television or media, and my entertainment were the big windows. A good day was when there were some clouds doing interesting things, or maybe some movement of the trees. Listening practices, these have helped form a framework for me as I wrestle and as I connect with God's love. Another way that I've found to attune to God's love, some of you may be familiar with, is called centering prayer. Anybody heard of centering prayer here, right? It's kind of a broad term. There's many ways to enter that kind of space. But it's the practice that I'd like to end our time with today. I invite you, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes and take a moment to notice your breath. The chair holding you. Nowhere else to be in this moment. I'll be reading Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen, listen, listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Hear that your soul may live. Amen.